Let's do a podcast.
Let's do a podcast.
Let's do a podcast. You guys.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Mundane Festival Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lamberth. Today is Saturday, December 2nd, 2017. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and on Podbean, the host site. If you like the show, please rate and review it on iTunes and or Stitcher. Give it a 5-star review. Let everyone know why you like it, because it will make me feel good about myself and most of the life decisions that I've made so far. You can email the show at mundanefestivalpod@gmail.com. Let me know what's on your mind. More importantly, what's on your heart? You can like the show on Facebook. You can follow it on Twitter at Mundane Festival. And you can follow me, your host, the guy talking to you right now, on Twitter at Chris Lamberth. This is episode 252. Have a super special return guest, Tim Hall, a.k.a. The People's Critic, out of Seattle, Washington. We're going to hang out with him in a bit. But right now, I'm going to talk to you for a bit. You know, I'm just going to talk to you for a few minutes. And then I'll just take you over to my conversation with Tim right now. I'm recording this on a Saturday morning. It's early. It's 9 o'clock. I mean, that's kind of, I've been up for a while, you guys. I've find myself the most productive when I'm up early. I got up, watched some YouTube clips, did some research on something. What else did I do? I went to the store. I went to Walmart. And didn't spend a lot of money. I was proud of myself. I did not spend a lot of money at Walmart. And I got some essential things that I needed. And then I went, took myself to my Saturday breakfast at Chick-fil-A. And I tried, I just get the little chicken biscuits or whatever. And I normally don't eat it with anything because it tastes so good without anything on it. Just the bread and the chicken, you guys, really. And I went up to the register and I paid for my stuff. So, oh, would you like any sauce or any preserves or anything? I was like, what do you suggest that I put on there if I were to try? She said, well, I use pretty much anything, but you could try the honey. And I was like, oh, shit. So I tried the honey. They got this, what is it called? I'm going to take a walk and find out what kind of honey this is. Taking a little walk over to my table here. Clover honey. It's good. It was really good. I liked it. I'm a fan. So I enjoyed that. And, you know, now I'm back recording the intro to this episode, you guys. I mean, super productive. Probably going to play some PlayStation later. I don't know what I'm going to do. It's Saturday, you know? I had a pretty good week, busy week. I hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. I took the week off. I deserved it. I worked so hard. But if you're a Patreon subscriber, there's two new episodes. There's a bonus episode with me and Don Will talking about Stranger Things, parts 1 and 2, and Asian nostalgia. I wanted to say 80s nostalgia, but it almost came out as Asian nostalgia. I mean, I did used to like this Filipino girl in high school. There was this one girl that was Japanese and white. She was really pretty in grad school. I went out with her once, but I didn't have a chance with her. She's married now. And I'm sure she's living her best life, but she was a lovely young woman and also a very great singer. Anyway, but we talked about 80s nostalgia, and we had a great time. So that's on the Patreon site. Also, I had a conversation about Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri with J.L. Covan. Every time me and J.L. get together, you know what I'm saying? It's a good time, you know what I'm saying? So that's up there. So there's stuff. It's not like I haven't been working. And I got something else. I'm going to have a conversation with somebody this afternoon. So I'm working, guys. I'm working for you. What else? So the week was good. I had an audition. My first, I talk about a little in my conversation with Tim. I had an audition for The Blacklist. It's only one of the hit shows on NBC. It's just to play like a bartender. One of those roles where it's like one of the main characters is like, "Have you seen, where is this person? Have you seen this? Did you see this person at the bar?" I was like, "Yeah, yeah, he was at the bar." And how did the woman look? Young, pretty, maybe 30. You know, that was one of the lines. That was probably the that was the most lines for TV that I auditioned for. I'll say that. It's like maybe 4 lines. It looked kind of like a little mini. It was pretty neat. I don't think I got it, but I didn't bomb. I learned my lines, and the casting director was like, do you need anything? You have any questions? And I was like, no, I got this. No, but it was a good audition. I'm getting to a point now where I'm just like, that was a good audition. We'll see what happens. Either they pick me or they don't. But so it goes. I paid $20 to park there. Show business, guys. And last night I had a show in New Jersey at an Elks Lodge in Closer, New Jersey, like maybe like a little less than a half hour from where I live. That was cool. Like my manager called me in the afternoon. I was like, oh yeah, sure, of course I'll do it. And I MC'd this baseball fundraiser. It was cool. It was fun. Crowd was kind of tight, and I opened them up a little bit, and it's an interesting show, but it was fun nonetheless. And I got paid, bought some groceries from Walmart. I mean, this is stand-up comedy pays for my livelihood sometimes. I got tactile things. I got $7 worth of grapes today because of the jokes that I told on stage. All right? Living the dream. Living the dream. All right, you guys? So that was good. That was a fun thing. What else? The Giants benching Eli for Geno Smith, hashtag black quarterbacks. The homie Scott Lunn from Twitter, I didn't even know this. He tweeted me that Geno Smith ends another streak. Up until now, the Giants were the only NFL team in history never to start an African-American quarterback. After 1,300 career games and 93 seasons, Smith will be the first black quarterback to start a game for the Giants. Giants versus Oakland. So that's neat. But I mean, was it right what they did to Eli? I think it was in poor taste to do that, to be quite honest with you. Is it surprising to me? No. I grew up in the era where free agency was kind of, I mean, I grew up in the 80s, and by the time that I was able to old enough to understand, none of this shit surprised me. And the first time that it really struck a chord with me was when Joe Montana ended his career playing with the Kansas City Chiefs. And I remember Sega Genesis, they used to have the game called Sports Talk Football. And that was the first time where they did commentary. They said, Montana, back to pass, looking, throws, touchdown, 25-yard touchdown pass. You know, like it would sound like that. And I remember one of the last whatever Genesis football game they had was one of those, was Joe Montana, number 19, on the cover of Sports Talk Football. And that was kind of jarring. And I said, well, that's when it changed. Like, if it happened to Michael Jordan can be in a Wizards jersey. I mean, I would see Ricky Henderson get traded all the time, or he would go from team to team. That was in like the 80s and 90s and whatnot. They did it to his brother, so it's not a surprise. But everybody, because I live in the New York area, you know, people are like, oh my God, I can't believe. It's just like it's a national tragedy. It's just a guy that's getting old. I mean, it's just, you know, that's all it is. And they put up some billboards in New Jersey, and like saying, what did it say here? It said, Big Blue, shame on you. And everybody's mad at Ben McAdoo. People are mad at the ownership. The owner was like, I wasn't there, so it seems like it would be something that they would talk, the coaching staff would talk to the management about that before making a move like that. But I'm not losing any sleep over that shit. And then it's funny to me how everybody's like, oh, this is a disgrace. I get it. The guy won two Super Bowls. Okay. So I just wish if some of those people gave half of that, just maybe even a quarter of that passion to pay attention to what Colin Kaepernick has been doing, I think we'd be better off. You know, we'd be in a better place. The NFL would be in a better place if fans actually took note of what was actually happening. That, you know, it's just funny to me how it's funny to me. It's not surprising at all about the way that people are reacting to this. And then there's shit with the NFL owners putting in $89 million to go to like causes, like civil rights causes and whatnot. And there's a debate about people talking about who's still going to protest and who's not going to protest. And it all just changed once the owners gentrified that whole kneeling protest. And it's just a clusterfuck. And I really don't give a shit about the NFL that much anymore. I root for the black quarterbacks. What else? And just kind of watch the games as they come. Will I watch the Super Bowl? Of course. Will I watch the playoffs? Yeah. But if I got something going on Sunday, like last Sunday, I watched Black Swan. The movie that's almost, what is that, seven years old? I just watched that. I don't care anymore. I slept through the Redskins Cowboys game. I didn't even know that game was on Thursday. Glad the Redskins lost. Or the racial slurs. So I don't know. I don't care. But I just thought it was funny how, and I tweeted this, guys. I took showed a picture of the Big Blue Shame on You sign, and then I wrote three billboards outside of Kearney, New Jersey. Because, you know, like the new movie that's out that JL and I reviewed, but it was instead of Ebbing, Missouri, it was Kearney, New Jersey. All right. I'm a genius. I can't help myself. There's a good podcast to listen to, Fresh Air, this week. Who did Terry Gross interview? I found it from I listen to Fresh Air regularly, but one in particular, this one says, for years, Anita Hill was a canary in the coal mine for women speaking out. And they basically just break down a lot those hearings and whatnot before Clarence Thomas got confirmed and all that. And they brought up a lot of interesting issues where, you know, they got Matt Lauer this week. He gone. They got Garrison Keillor, which surprised the shit out of me. They have like stories. Okay, let's see. Stories about, let me just make sure that this is, check it out. I tweeted it. It's on my timeline. And what I'll do is I will retweet this now on my mundane festival feed. So you can see that if you go to the podcast timeline, you'll see that I retweeted this. And there was also, because what this made me do, and Tim and I talk about this in the episode, where just all these allegations and stuff, and people are just this white man reckoning that's happening. It just made me think, it's just caused me to be really introspective about my interactions with women. Sometimes where I might have been out of pocket. I'd like to consider myself a gentleman and whatnot. I'm not really posturing when I say things like that, but it, regardless, just taking that out of it, even still, it just made me think about my behavior around women, things I've said to them, things I didn't say. And it's just I think it should just cause everybody to have a heightened awareness. And just recently, within the past couple of years, I started to just listen to more podcasts and interviews with women and just to hear the female perspective. And it's not even, it's not necessarily like women are, we're treated bad. Just women talking about things. It doesn't have to be like super serious, but it's just getting, and they're the, I'm blabby. I'm being blabby right now. I've been away, guys. Just to get a female perspective on things. And I think that's, I think it's important. So it's just kind of me just trying. And oh yeah, Felder and I talked about this a month or two ago. Just trying to be more, more aware of just things that are going on around you. And just for, basically, I've been saying this for the past couple of years, just have empathy for people. Cause I've noticed where it's like, where people say stuff at work that's, I don't want to be like inappropriate, but people say shit around you at work and in these spaces where it's just like, why would you say this? And I just shake my head. I'm not going to go to HR, but it's just like, Jesus, why are you saying this, dude? Or women say things and it's just like, you just let it go by. But just think as the things that women have to deal with constantly on a daily basis, and they got to do their job at work. So it's just an impediment. All these impediments for them to just simply get through their day that guys don't necessarily have to deal with, ever have to deal with. I think there was a great episode on Master of None where they, I think it was the first season where they just, where Condola Rashad played one of Aziz's friends or just one of his like actor friends, and how, what it was like for her to go home just her to go home at night by herself. And when Aziz and his buddy, another dude, go home, like they just paralleled the rest of their night going home after a night out. I don't remember what episode that was, but look it up. Yeah. So I just felt I should say something about that. Haven't seen any movies this week. I'm trying to wait until I can get some screeners and stuff. I just saw a thing from SAG where they, on Instagram, where they said, "Oh, if you paid your dues and blah blah blah, we're starting to they're starting their nominations, the nomination process for the SAG Awards." So I'm hoping that I can get some of these movies, get some reviews out to you, get some special episodes and everything, young, and to make that happen. Let's just get to Tim. Let's just get to Tim, you guys. Tim, this is his third time on the show. Technically, is it like his third or fourth? Because we did an episode where we talked about the Black Panther trailer. So he's been on the show a lot, and he's just a pleasure to have on the show. He's very knowledgeable. He's like one of my go-to comic book nerds that I can ask him questions. And what spawned this episode was that I saw the new Avengers Infinity War trailer. And I was like, oh, Tim, you want to just kind of talk about it? And so we did. And we talked about a lot of other stuff beforehand. But the impetus was to just get him on the show and talk about this Infinity War and why people were up in arms about Thanos and all that jazz. And we had a great time. So this is me talking to the great Tim Hall, a.k.a. People's Critic. Enjoy it, folks. So you were saying that some of these 80s movies, when you go back and watch them, they're problematic?
Yeah, so my friends have this podcast called Many 80s, and we record every week. So we're just watching stuff from the 80s. Yeah. And everything we watch seems to have something to, like, makes you cringe just a little bit. Like, we're watching Teen Wolf, and there's a scene when he tells Styles that he's the wolf. Uh-huh. That he's like, he's questioning him. He's like, "Are you gay?" And he's like, "No." Like, he like reels back. And I was like, "Oh, hell, come on. Teen Wolf, you too?"
He didn't say, "No, I'm not a fucking queer."
He might as well have said that. Might as well, man. There's a lot of that in those 80s movies, man. There's a lot of violence against women.
Yeah.
That just gets. Like, if you watch Purple Rain, that scene where he slaps really slaps her, when she says she's going to go play in Morris Day's band, he, like, slaps her, for real. And then, like, tries to console her.
Hey, baby, I'm sorry.
He didn't just smack her. Yeah. You know how I am about Morris. It gets you riled up, man. I had to slap you.
It's different times. I think that's just, I think that's evolution.
Yeah.
And it's,
I think it's good.
Yeah, it's good if you can look back at that and say, oh, it's probably not cool. I mean, because it's a cult, like this, it's just the culture of, it's just like with everything that's happening in Hollywood with Weinstein and then everything.
Matt Lauer today.
Yeah, Matt Lauer. They got Garrison Keillor, dog.
For real?
Yes.
Jeez.
It's just like a history of, I guess, a history of sexual misconduct and everything. You think of, I think about Prairie Home Companion. I think about like a nice, having hot cocoa and with under a blanket, listening to those stories, very Midwestern-y, and he's touching on these women when they don't want him to.
Yeah, you know, just from being a dude, like sometimes in these environments, men feel like there are certain men who don't see women as women. Mm-hmm. And they see them as property.
They see them as women, yeah. But they just see them as like property or objects. Yeah.
Not as people. Right. Not as like real people. As right. Like, oh, I get to objectify you and I can say whatever I want and you just have to take it. And it's kind of the way things are. And they kind of shrug it off like, well, you know how we are. I can't help myself. I'm just a guy and I got to pull my dick out in front of you. Like, no, you don't.
Yeah, you don't have to do that.
Even you know, so some of the like the blowback from everything that's happening, I see men on Twitter a lot being like, how am I even supposed to talk to a woman now? I'm like, just with your dick in your pants. It's the same conversation.
talk to her with your dick in your pants.
Yeah.
And just be,
that's it.
Just be decent.
Just be normal.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's okay.
Yeah. It's, man, I try to keep my dick in my pants, man. I try.
It's so difficult these days.
So hard. I mean, but I don't know. It's just a matter of the past few years, man. It's just all to me. It just comes down to empathy and respect. Would you want somebody to do that to you when you don't want it? And I think it's a cultural. It's a cultural thing because you think about Mad Men, hey, toots, and like that whole thing. And even before then, like I was having the same conversation with my parents this afternoon, just talking about, I think Matt Lauer had just broke, the Matt Lauer thing had just broken when I was talking to him. And I said, you know, I'm sure that's what women go through. My mom mentioned stuff like that, like the boss is trying to, you know, touch her, and she said, hey, get your hands off me. Don't touch me.
Yeah.
And then it would be some women that would be like, they would let the dude, they let the guy do it. And it's just these social things that happen. And I think now people, there's a heightened awareness to it. I'm hoping that there's the awareness continues and that it's not just a trend. It's like, oh, this is the end thing.
Yeah, and people are acting like it's a bad thing. It's not bad. No. It's bad if you're out here committing these kind of crimes.
Right.
Yeah, of course. You should probably be afraid. Mm. But if you're not, you're like, well, get these people out, and let's get people in who know how to behave like human beings in front of each other. The crazy part is this stuff is happening at work. Like, dog, you know, like, you're at work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, because everybody comes to me. Not everybody, but I've noticed people come to me. One of my coworkers came to me and said, "Oh, what's up with Louie? Like I know him. Yeah, I was like, I've been in the same room with him maybe once or twice, and
you know,
and it's just like it. But I guess they want to know. But I told my female coworker. I was saying like, I'm sure you probably had people, you know, try to, you know, talk to you a certain way or try to, you know, behave inappropriately towards you. And she was like, yeah, I just tell them to fuck off. I was like, yeah, there you go. But it shouldn't happen. Like, they shouldn't have to do that. but
yeah, that shouldn't be a situation you're in constantly, where you have to have these devices and these outs for men who act terrible. Mm-hmm. You should be able just to live your life and go home and not, you know, like this one girl I know, man, she quit the gym I was going to because the exact same thing.
But what was
like
she,
nothing had actually
Tim,
happened.
Minute, wait a minute, Tim. What was she wearing at the gym though? come on,
you know, she had on a sports bra and some pants, and I was like, whoa, can't help myself. No, but she, you know, she was saying, like, you know, people who work there, personal trainers, like. God, I stopped seeing her at the gym, and I ran into her. I was like, yo, what happened at the gym? Like, I don't see you. She was like, man, I had to stop. Like, every time, you know, I'm near, I work out. Like, I know what I'm doing. And I would just be working out. Some dude would come up like, hey, so do you need a... She was like, no, I don't need your... Yeah, I don't... I got my earbuds in for a reason. Like, I don't need your help.
Right.
I know how to rack my weights. I don't need... And I don't need you staring... I can see you in the mirror. You're staring at me the whole time I'm doing my squats. I don't need that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a hard thing with being at the gym and trying to talk to somebody, or you
just don't.
Yeah,
my rule is you just don't. Like, if I see a girl on her phone or earbuds in, I don't need to force a conversation. If she wants to talk to me, she will make it up clear that she wants to have a conversation.
Yeah,
if I have to question it, you don't need to talk. It's fine.
I did it once, and that woman now is. On a network TV show.
Oh.
I'll tell you, we'll talk about that off mic. Just remind me.
Oh, wow.
I looked up I was just on Instagram surfing, and I was like, oh, shit. Because I knew she was an actress, because we had talked about it and stuff. And then now she's like, she's huge, but we'll talk about that later.
Oh, wow. That's good for her.
Yeah, I followed her on Instagram. hey man, she's got an account. It's open. It's all above board. I'm not doing anything bad.
No unsolicited DMs about hey.
Yeah. So, but dude, it is a thing though. It makes it this all of this stuff has made me think about my interactions with women.
And it should.
Yeah, and I think it's something that in times where I might have been out of pocket. And it's sort of like you. I think we need that. I think it's called for instead of just like men are scum and men are trash and all this stuff.
Right.
I think it's time for to be aware of it, but also be introspective on just the way that you're interacting with people. You know.
Yeah. Exactly. I agree 100%, man.
Yeah. It's
100.
It's almost like it's hard, but then it's not.
Yeah,
you know, it's just like just respect people, and you just have to I guess rely on social cues and is it okay to pull your dick out? You know, like like is it?
If it's a question, the answer is probably no. Right? That's always the go-to.
Pretty
much. If your question is probably no.
I remember this Little Brother song on the Get Back album called Step My Game. I think it's Step Your Game Up.
Yes. Yeah,
and
so yeah.
Where Fonte's like, baby, do you want a massage? You know, like, that's real shit. That's real shit. Like, it starts that way. And if she says no, it's like, okay. Like, because there's been situations where with the woman, it's been quite a few, it's getting hot and heavy, and she says no. You just like, all right, damn.
All right.
Yeah. You just have to.
You get over it in like 3 seconds. You're like, all right, well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
you don't turn. You don't get enraged like the Hulk, and like you can't control yourself anymore. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Man.
You just have to. Yeah. It's just one of those things. It's certain things that women have to deal with that they shouldn't have to, and we have to. There's a certain thing on our certain things on our end that we have to be. Cognizant of and aware.
Yeah, it's you know it's changing your behavior and changing the way you see things and because it's not an experience that we have as men. So for some men, it's like way outside of their viewpoint of like what's happening. Mm-hmm. But to me, like I don't think you have to go through to understand the simple rules of like keep your hands to yourself and you know don't send unsolicited dick pics and you know don't be rapey and don't drug people and don't. You know, laugh at women who say these things that happen to them. Like, you know, have some empathy for them.
Yeah, we just, it's a time for listening is what it is.
Yeah, but the tougher part is talking to other men about it. Because that's, you know, I don't know if you've been in that situation. I know I have, definitely, where you're having to tell some other dudes, like, hey, man, that behavior is really not okay.
Yeah, I was at a show the week that, I guess the weekend that the Louis stuff broke, and I was doing a show, and we were, I was in the back waiting to go on, and the headliner at the show, we were talking. I had just met him. We were talking, and he tried to make, and it was a woman on stage. He tried to say, hey, what about, he's like, I'd love to sexually harass her. I was like, dude, come on. And it wasn't like, hey, man, yeah, watch your fucking self, bro.
Yeah.
It wasn't like that, but it was just like, come on.
This guy, you're one of these yeah, bros.
Yeah.
It's
like,
I had a situation. I was on a light rail cutting home from work.
Uh-huh.
And it goes past a high school, and this girl got on. She clearly had a bag that was a high school name plastered on the side of her bag, her, like, cheerleading bag or whatever. Mm-hmm. And this dude's like, hey, something, like, made a comment at her. And she looked a little uncomfortable, but I had my earphones in, so I couldn't hear. So I just, you know, quietly sort of just stopped my music. And he said something. I forgot what he said to her, but it was clearly inappropriate for a girl who's in high school, and this is a grown-ass man.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, and like my deepest, you know, I'm not no tough dude, but I said, hey, like my deepest, like bass voice.
Yeah.
And was like, and gave him a look like, what are you doing? And he sort of like, you know, got up and sort of, he got up and moved. He didn't say anything to me, but he knew what I was referencing. I was like, what are you doing? She's in high school. Why are you trying to be all flirty with her? Like, I need you to relax. I don't care if I'm the only one on the train who sees it. Like, I need you to stop.
Yeah, I mean,
hey,
man, kudos to you, man. Because, I mean, I think that's where we have to kind of check each other. And then that could also be, like, a dangerous situation where...
It can be dangerous. I mean, I felt out the situation. At that point, I was like, well, if he wants to rumble, and then whatever, man, we're just going to be fighting on this train.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, she's a kid. Like, it's in my mind, I automatically went to, like, my niece and, like, my friend's kids, and I'm just like... All this happened in like 1.2 seconds. And I was like, that is a child minding her business, coming back from school. Mm-hmm. And here you are, a grown man, feeling like it's cool to be inappropriate with her.
Right, right.
Like, no, what are you doing?
Yeah, you can't wait. You can't wait until you have a daughter to say, hey, man, I have a daughter. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Been hearing that shit a lot, like, the last
few. Yeah.
Ah, what are you gonna do, man? Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
I did, man. It was quiet, man. Hung around here at the house. Didn't do too much. I had a bunch of stuff to do that weekend, so right. It was good, man. How was yours?
It was chill. It was just with my parents, and I took a plate over to my uncle's house and hung out with him for a little bit. And my cousin, my hating ass cousin, we were talking about movie. He got this movie pass thing.
I'm aware of movie pass. So he got the movie pass.
What's your take on it, man?
It seems cool, but I don't know if it's a business model that can last.
Uh huh.
That's my thing. So, like, get in while you can.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's something that's gonna last.
I just, my thing is, I get it. And another buddy just like hit me up last night. He's like, I got the movie pass, man. And it's just like, it's just another automatic debit thing coming out. And I'm just like, I can't. There's so many corporate entities that have their hands in my bank account that it's just like, I'll just wait. And I'm hoping that award season coming, that I'm hoping that now that I'm officially SAG and I'm paid up, I can.
Yeah, man. Congrats. Yeah,
man. Thanks, man. Trying to... had my first official SAG audition. Well, they've all been SAG auditions, but my first one being a fully fledged member, like, on Monday. It was, you know, it was fine.
It went fine?
Yeah, it was just like to play a bartender on The Blacklist.
You get killed?
No, it's just like, it's just one of those, you wanted me to die. Well, there's...
Yeah, I don't want you to die for real, but it'd been cool to be like, oh, I got killed on The Blacklist.
Well, I get beat up in a thing that I'm doing, that I just shot this summer. It's probably not, it's not coming out until next year. But anyway, there's like, where was I going with that?
Tell about your SAG, your first official SAG.
Oh, yeah. It was just like a bartender that's like, hey, have you seen this missing woman? Oh, yeah, she was, you know, yeah, sorry. Is she going to be okay? You know, it's just like exposition type shit. But it's like,
hey. So you're wiping the bar and stacking shot glasses and
moving
peanuts around and ask you questions.
I got it. So I watched a couple episodes of The Blacklist because it's on Netflix. It's a good show. It's pretty good. There's just so many shows, man.
There's a lot to watch, man.
Yeah. So my hating ass cousin was just telling me all the movies that he saw, and he saw a lot. And that day he had seen, I think the day before, he had seen Lady Bird, and he was like hating on that.
He's hating on the movie?
Yeah, he said he didn't like it because it was just like, oh, it's just a white girl.
He's one of them dudes, huh?
He's not on social media like that. You know, you just everybody got a family member like that, a family member or friend. He was like, man, this is just a white girl just being an asshole to her parents. And I'm like, you ain't all the way wrong with it, but it's
the movie's deeper than that, right?
Yeah, it's a good movie. I dug it. I'm supposed to do a review, like a full review of it, coming up in a couple days. But I dug it. I think it's one of the better movies of the year that I've seen. That I think, you know, what have you seen like so far this year that you're into that you liked a lot?
Well, this is our first official year of the Seattle Film Critics Society.
Okay.
So we started getting a bunch of screeners. It started a few months ago with Logan. Like the first one that came, and it was Logan, and it said, you know, for your consideration. I was like, oh, this is cute. I can watch Logan again. And then, like, the floodgates opened, and it was like, it was everything. And we've had some screenings for our Critics Society. Some of them I couldn't make, but I made one on Monday for The Post. About the Washington Post during the Pentagon Papers.
Yes.
It was great. It's one of those procedurals that's like feels very much like being teed up for the Oscars. It's directed well. It's a cool investigative story. I didn't enjoy the investigative stuff as much as I did with Spotlight, but I thought sort of the cultural relevance of like a president trying to dictate what the media says about him, I thought really hit home. And of course, like Meryl Streep and Tom Hanks crush it. Like, they kill it.
Do you think Meryl Streep will get nominated?
Yeah, because I don't know who else they're going to nominate. I think she definitely gets nominated.
Well, I'm saying,
like, I don't know who's getting nominated for what.
I think right now, what I've seen, I think Meryl Streep is going to get her obligatory nom.
What?
Frances McDormand in Three Billboards, man, was just.
Oh yeah, that's what I fantastic. You know. I was you know, K-Bad from the Firestarter podcast he had an Instagram post about it, and he was just saying how much he enjoyed it. So I've been wanting to check that out, man. Everyone who's seen it, that's another screening I missed. So everyone who's seen it really enjoys it.
Yeah,
I need to check it out.
Yeah, that shit is. To me, I compared it to Russell Westbrook's season last year. Like that performance was just like.
Everything. Huh?
Yeah, she was intense, man. It just seems like this is her year, and I think Meryl Streep is right now. Even though I haven't seen the movie, I'm just saying, like, prediction wise,
she's good.
Yeah, like I feel like
she's good. Man.
It's gonna be her and probably Margot Robbie.
For I, Tonya.
Yeah, even though I haven't seen it, that's just me being being on my like Mel Kiper.
Like, you know who's good though? Who's my dark horse pick?
Who?
It's Jessica Chastain in Molly's Game.
Well, I think I don't consider her as a dark horse. I think that's just going to be another nom.
She's good, man.
I felt you. So you saw it?
Man, she's damn good in that movie. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I think
it's pretty much just.
Was it you that posted?
Her and Idris Elba.
Did you post that on your Instagram that you had the screener?
I think I tweeted about it.
Yeah,
I think I tweeted about it.
I was jealous when I saw that. I was like, "Where am I getting mine? I want screeners, man."
I used to think that, but man, it's a lot. It's a lot. It's a lot to watch, and you're gonna see stuff that you've already seen, but it's a lot. And it's just, it's trying to manage, like, when can I watch what? It's an everyday thing. Come on, okay, I need to watch something. Because we have to nominate in a couple weeks, and then we have to vote. And I want to be as, you know, well-versed in what's out. You know, because I could look at a list, you know, Gotham Awards or whoever else nominated, but I want to know, you know, I want to have a legitimate, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, critique. But I'm pushing for Andy Serkis for Best Actor.
He's not going to get that, dude.
I know. But for our Critics Awards, oh, he's definitely getting my nomination.
Okay.
For sure, 100%. I'm nominating him for sure. Because I think he gets overlooked, man. That performance is great.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that.
I don't care if it's motion capture. That's a great performance.
He's going to get a lifetime, probably like a lifetime.
I know. Moment. They're going to give him some, like, Andy Serkis Award every year that he, you know, they give out. So that was really good. Molly's Game was really good. It's pretty much just her and Idris Elba.
I want to see
the movie.
I'm excited to
the
see
two of them.
Because I felt like she got shafted for Miss Sloan. Miss Sloan was good.
Yeah, she was good. She was good in that. Yeah.
Her and she's, my girl.
She's really good.
Gugu and Batha Raw.
Yeah, listen, man, I love him some Gugu. And Gugu's great.
She was good.
She's good at everything.
Yeah, she's, I mean, hey, she's bad.
She was good on that Black Mirror episode.
I still haven't seen. Do you have to watch those in order?
No, they're all different. So you can watch them whenever.
Okay.
They're all, it's kind of like watching the Twilight Zone. But you don't have to watch them in order.
Okay, that's another show that I need to catch up on. I'm just.
You would love it.
Okay.
I think you would appreciate it.
I've seen the first two or three.
Yeah, you probably watched the first season.
Yeah.
She's good in the San Junipero episode. That episode won an Emmy, I think, for something.
Was it like a queer thing?
Yeah, it was like her and this other girl in love. But you realize it's deeper than them just being together. Like, it's,
yeah.
You realize what's sort of happening and how they're meeting up. And you're like, oh, that's what's happening.
Okay.
And you sort of get to understand what's happening. Yeah, it's a dope. Dope episode.
Maybe I'll move that up the list because I'm caught up on The Good Place. I just started watching that.
That
shit is so
people
good,
love that.
Dude. That
yeah,
that shit is great. So yeah, Molly's Game. I definitely want to see that, but that's not officially. I don't think that's out yet.
Yeah, it'll probably get released. You know, in like some smaller theater. I think it has a bigger release later on, but probably get released just to be eligible. What is actually very good that comes out this week is The Disaster Artist.
Oh, you did see it, right?
I did see that, yeah. I actually did a review with Chris in the Sanity Check, which comes out, I think it's going to drop on Friday.
Okay.
But man, it's great, man. Like, you know, you could have played it as a silly, like, movie, but it's like a sweet, like, love letter to Tommy Wiseau and this film that he made. And for, you know, Franco to, like, direct and, like, act and produce it, and he's really good. Like, mm-hmm. It's like a subtle performance of Tommy Wiseau. He could have played him as a crazy, like, Looney Tune dude, but he played him like as, like, a dude who's, you know, a little overconfident and a little quirky, but clearly, you know, his heart is in the right place, even though this thing is a legitimate disaster from beginning to end.
Yeah. I'm interested
but
in that.
It's good, man.
You think
it's really good.
Do you think he'll get a nom?
I think he should,
mm-hmm.
but we'll see. I know they're pushing for it. Like, you know, and A24 has earned some, you know, some credit with the Academy with the sort of films they're putting out. So,
yeah.
More and more, man, the films keep showing up. Doing a war season.
Yeah, they do, man. They're becoming a very like a reputable company. They are a reputable company already.
Yeah.
Studio. Yeah, they just constantly, and I'm always gonna check for. I still haven't seen the Florida Project yet, but
I got that too. I haven't watched it yet.
Okay. I've heard nothing but good things about that.
I enjoyed Good Time this year. I thought Robert Pattinson was great. I'd love to see him get nominated for that, but I don't know if he will. But he was fantastic in that.
He was really good. Do you think though it suffers from just coming out too early? Like it came out around July, August.
And it got kind of swallowed up by a bunch of like terrible summer movies that didn't perform well.
Yeah.
And it sort of went away. But it was like I think when people actually watch it they'll appreciate the performance. And what a crazy story. And it's the way the story's told is sort of like, it's bananas. You keep thinking things are going to turn around at some point.
Yeah.
And they just, because like in a normal movie, like this, that was an 80s movie, it would be like imagine Ferris Bueller's Day Off and things just keep going wrong for Ferris. And it's like, man, he can't get his shit together.
Right.
That's what that performance is for him. Like,
yeah, that's a good point that you mentioned that, because it seemed to me like it just seems like the last few years, the female categories have been the most interesting to me. It just seemed like the races are a lot tighter. It seems like there's more. It's like the Western Conference in the NBA. Like you might have a streep as a front runner, but there's somebody that can easily, you know, take that spot. Like I felt like I didn't see anything emerge for men. It seemed like early on, maybe like late summer when Battle of the Sexes came out, I was like, shit, Emma Stone could low key sneak in there. But now we see all these, we see, like, we just named, like, Chastain.
Streep's out there. Robbie. Who else is going to, Robbie, she's going to be in there. Yeah, so you got other people in the mix.
Yeah.
But, you know, the issue you run into with the studio, because these aren't art products they're making, they're trying to make money, so the release dates, you know, factor in, because people forget, and that's why they send out these screeners.
Like, yeah.
For your consideration, because they know people get bogged down. They're like, hey, it's the fall, it's a lot to see, but just in case, here's a movie that's really good. And also, I heard The Shape of Water is really good. I don't know, I forgot the woman who's in it, but like, I don't know what her performance is like, but apparently, I keep forgetting her name. Love that movie. People love the movie, so.
I mean, it's Guillermo del Toro, and it's Sally Hawkins, who's just, she's good. Like, she's
good.
Consistently good. It's got a good cast. Michael Shannon, Richard Jenkins, Doug Jones. I don't know Doug Jones.
Doug Jones, he's the motion capture. He's playing the monster.
Okay.
He's always doing motion capture stuff. He was the dude in whatchamacallit. He played that weird fish dude in Hellboy. He was also that hand creature in the other Del Toro movie. The creature had eyeballs in his hands.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So he does a bunch of, like, that kind of work. But, you know, again, he's good.
Okay. And Octavia Spencer's in it. It's definitely, yeah. When I saw it, I'm sure this movie is going to be good.
Yeah,
but it's one of those white girl falls in love with a fucking weird creature.
Just some sort of metaphor for interracial dating. Is what
you're
saying?
Yeah, there you go. way to be astute with that, Tim. Because I was like, it's just like a fucking thing, and it's kind of like
we keep seeing it, right?
Yeah.
King Kong, whatever, right?
Yeah, it's like all right, like, just date a black dude.
If he did outside your race, yeah. People think it's weird.
Yeah. So, I mean.
But if he's really a monster.
And I'm sure it's going to have a lot of heart to it. Did Del Toro do. Who did Coraline? No, Pan's Labyrinth.
Pan's Labyrinth. Who did Pan's Labyrinth?
Okay,
yeah,
that shit was fucking depressing. It was good. Is that the one where the girl died at the end?
I don't remember that. Gosh, I don't remember that movie.
It was very good, but it was just sad. It's like, I don't know how many times I could watch that. Like, if I would watch that, like, yeah, Doug Jones was the pale. Yeah, that's what you just said.
I've been meaning to watch The Killing of a Sacred Deer.
Yeah, I heard that was really intense.
I heard it's intense, yeah. So I'm trying to find some mental space to watch it at some point.
Yeah, you have to be in the right mind state to watch some of these things. I don't know. Like I like Denzel in Roman Israel. Yeah.
Did you like the movie? You thought the movie was like?
I did. Rod and I did a spoil movie review last week. No, actually, this past weekend, and talking to him about it, I liked it more. I started to like appreciate it even more. I just had problems with the script, the way that things, without spoiling anything, I just had problems with the script, basically.
Yeah, that you're the third person who said that exact phrase. I had problems with the script.
Yeah, because I felt like the more that I talked about it and thought about it, it's like when you think about him and Fences, like I've said it last year where it was just like, it just seemed like Denzel had a gear that we didn't know he had. Like LeBron in the playoffs. And then you know, I'm thinking about it, it's like, well, God, he took it to another level in this one. Mm-hmm. But the script wasn't as great. But I know that they had issues with, and when I say the script, it's not like the script was trash. It was just like the ending, and I felt like Denzel probably...
They cut some stuff out of the movie, right?
Yeah, then they moved some stuff around, too.
Yeah, I read that because they showed it at a film festival, and I read that they like took out like 12 minutes or moved some stuff around. I was like, this does not sound good. If you're doing this, this late in the game, trying to figure out how you want to, you know, in this narrative. So whatever feedback they got, they felt was strong enough for them to want to change the project. But you know, sometimes that's not always great.
And it felt like, you know, I was like, well, he's got something else in this, with this character that was, you know, really interesting and quirky. So I just comparing it to Nightcrawler, it kind of left me, because I watched Nightcrawler a couple weeks before I went and saw Roman Israel, and I just felt like, without spoiling any, I just had problems with it. But overall, I like the movie, and I'll probably get it on Blu-ray simply because of that performance.
Right.
You know, but
you think Columbus gets any sort of looks? Anything?
No. It didn't win any Gotham Awards, but have you seen it yet?
No, I'm gonna watch it this weekend.
To me, see, now I feel I've overhyped it. I don't know that I've overhyped it.
No, you haven't.
I was giving Aaron Hunley some shit about it. I was like, see, but that is one of those movies where it was very deceptive. Because I went in there I was like, oh, I'm excited to see this. I like Haley Lou Richardson. I'm a fan of hers. Indie film. It's got Chris Lambert written all over it. So when I go to see it, I was just like, my God, it's a beautiful film. Like, it's just aesthetically, it's great. And then it had a lot of heart to it, but it was...
What?
It's one of those movies where it's just like, you can put that movie on and just kind of be a, it's not Moonlight. How Moonlight is a beautiful film, but it's heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And this is evocative of different, I don't know, man, it's hard to really...
It's a different kind of enjoyment.
Yeah, it's just like I feel satiated by it. Like I could watch that movie. I don't have to really be in a really intense mindset, I guess. I don't know, man. I just think it's a great movie. It got nominated for maybe, what did it get? It got like best new breakthrough director or something like that.
Right.
And Haley Lou Richardson got a nomination. Which that performance was very good, and I think it got three nominations, and it didn't win anything, because I think it's a small studio. It's like Superlative Films, and I think they only have about three or four movies in their roster right now. And they don't have like a lot of money behind it, so. I don't see it winning anything, but I think people will discover it on Netflix. It's like
it's one of those movies that people will be like, wow, when did this come out? Is this like Netflix? They're trying to figure out how they missed it.
Yeah, it's like one of those movies, like there's this movie called Everything Before Us and it's a predominantly Asian cast, and I think it was done like maybe.
I think I've seen that.
It's really fucking good. It was just one of those movies where I was like, this has been in my queue for a long ass time, and I'm just going to watch it. And I was just like, holy shit, this is good. It's kind of like, it's kind of like got a vibe of Eternal Sunshine, but a lot lighter, but still moderately heavy. But it was just really, really good. Let me see. Let me look this up. Because I talked about it on an episode a few weeks ago. So this was 2015. And it's just basically two couples struggle to stay within the rules of the Department of Emotional Integrity, a public viewable score of a person's choices. So it's like if you were in a relationship that didn't work out, like you have a credit score, but with your relationships. So if you're,
we need that in real life for real.
Yeah. So if your last relationship was fucked up, that and you break up with somebody, that could keep you from getting a job. Or keep you from getting like promoted and shit. So your ass could be out of work because you had a shitty relationship, and then like the guy was like, this one dude couldn't get a job because of his last relationship, so he had to go back to his ex who was already in a new relationship and had to be like, yo, could you come down to the office and just kind of talk about like. Like, could you help get my score up?
You need a cancer reference.
Basically, yeah, that's exactly. So it's really fucking good. It's like this movie, similar to this movie.
That's a brilliant idea.
Yeah, it's fucking great. And it's a predominantly Asian cast. Like, the biggest star. Well, Aaron Yu has been in a few things. He's been in quite a few things. Randall Park from... Fresh Off the Boat has a supporting role, but it just goes to show you that like you just tell I've said this for like I guess with the advent of everybody's like diversity and blah 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 this and that, I don't really give a shit. I just want a good story. Now obviously it's nice to see people of color on film, don't get me wrong, because I'd love to see that and I want to be a part of that. But at the core, tell me a good story, you know?
Right.
And I think that's what these people did. The Philip Wang and Wesley Chan, they have a production company. I can get it while I'm talking, while I'm talking about it. So
yeah.
If people who want to see it.
Yeah, I think people will always resonate with a good story.
Yeah.
No matter how it's told, I think people somehow will gravitate to those because we love good storytelling. We grew up as kids listening to good storytelling. That's what fairy tales are.
Yeah.
That's what nursery rhymes are. They're all good storytelling, so we're used to it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you need.
And
that's, I'm sure we'll talk more about that later on, but
it's
we'll talk about some Marvel stuff.
Yeah,
that's all you need is good storytelling.
That's right, man. It's Wong Fu Productions, and it should still be on Netflix because I saw it like a month or two ago. But yeah, man, it's just one of those movies that just surprise you and it hits you. It's just like, oh, what are you going to do? I'm just going to watch. I'm not doing anything. I'll watch this movie.
Right.
I think people are going to discover Columbus that way, because if you got somebody from, and Aaron, actually tagged me and John in the post, and it was just like, I think it was Ty Burr from the Boston Globe that he said he was just raving. He said, okay, this is it. I'm pulling up her tweet. He says, finally caught up with Columbus and reeling from the ways in which precision cinematography and modern architecture gorgeously failed to capture the chaos of life. All hail Haley Lou Richardson, and why aren't you streaming this right now? So so that dude, Boston Globe, I was like, yeah, I know I'm not crazy. But that was, to me, that was my favorite film of the year. In a year where we have Get Out, which to me, I really enjoyed it. I bought it on Blu-ray. But just that movie resonated with me. It's just like, it made me think about family. Made me think about, like, by parents and stuff like that. So it's just, it was very, very good. I'm interested in hearing what you have to say about it.
Yeah.
My own.
You know, hearing you talk about it reminds me of why I love film and why, because I think they speak to people differently. Like, films speak to people differently. Experiences, like, come out. You can watch Columbus 10 years from now, and it'll have a different meaning to you. You know what I mean?
Very much so.
And that's, I think that's what I love so much about the filmmaking as an art, because, you know, it lasts. There are inevitable films that don't last, and they're going to be in and out. They're, you know, easily sort of digestible. But there are other films. Like, I remember I was recently watching V for Vendetta, mm-hmm. and it meant something different to me now under this administration than it when it first came out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
how old is
the
idea
that these things are happening? Ah, man, it's got to be early 2000s.
Yeah. Let's see.
Right? It means something different to me now.
Mm-hmm. 2005.
Than it did then. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, definitely.
Like 12 years later, and it's a movie that speaks in a different way and just has sort of a different tone, and it sounds different. And that's the beauty of filmmaking. Like, if you're crafting a wonderful story and you've got something that's you know, I don't want to say that's lasts forever but you know, something that has some legs to it, like, it'll speak to people.
Yeah, it's a thing that you just, like, I think you're right. It's timeless and universal.
Timeless.
I was you'll laugh at me, but I was when I was home, my mom said, "Oh, you got all these movies here," and I was going through seeing what, like, I just looking at movies. And I took back with me Karate Kid, the Jaden Smith.
Yeah, that was a solid one.
I was sitting on my couch, tears welling up in my eyes, man. That movie was so good. That I watched that over the weekend, and because first of all, that Karate Kid, those kids were, that was brutal. Those fight scenes were pretty brutal.
Yeah, that first fight scene when he gets beat up.
Yeah,
I was like, Jesus, man.
They could beat up the cool
little Jaden the business.
Yeah, they beat whooped his ass.
They was giving him the business.
Yeah, man. And I got emotional watching, like, when Jackie Chan was finally he's like, "Take off your jacket, put it back on."
Yeah,
take it off. And then he finally put the moves together and everything. And that moment of, like, that aha moment and. Yeah. Oh, man. It had the same emotional impact as the first one did. But I think just, like,
less of the cheesiness of the first one.
Yeah, it wasn't as cheesy, and it was just a little more of the earth to a certain degree.
Yeah, they kind of streamlined the story a little bit.
Yeah. And then I watched Black Swan.
Man, I haven't watched that in a minute, but I remember really enjoying it when I.
Yeah. Cause that I
remember.
Go ahead.
I remember I saw that with this girl I was dating, and then, like, she didn't get it, and I was like, "This is not a good thing if you don't get this movie." Like, exactly. I remember just having that, like, that thought in my head of, like, "This isn't gonna go well."
Yeah, I took a girl on a date to what's that movie that was, like, I think it was like 05 or 06, Closer. The one with Natalie.
Yeah, Portman. Closer was crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy as shit. I was like, I probably shouldn't have took a first date.
I was all about infidelity.
Yeah,
like,
man.
That's a wild movie for a date.
I fucked up
the craziest
twice.
Date I ever had. Go ahead. What'd you do?
Well,
the craziest date I ever did. I went on a blind date and we saw Memento. And we had no idea what it was about.
Oh, man.
It turned out to be okay, but, like, we both had no idea what we were watching. We were just like, "Oh, this is playing. Let's watch Memento."
I took so Closer, that wasn't a good choice. I took a divorcee to go see Revolutionary Road with
No, that's the worst. you could not have picked a worse movie.
I didn't, you know, because it was just like, oh, this is, it's Oscar season, because this would had to be like,
yeah,
October. It's like,
it was
oh,
like Oscar season.
Yeah, like, it's Oscar season.
It was like, it's DiCaprio.
Yeah, it's Leo and Kate. Yeah. They haven't been together in a minute. We ain't seen them in nothing.
Last time we saw them was a love story.
Yeah, and I was like, oh shit, this probably. And then looking back on the relationship, like, it was just like,
yeah.
I probably shouldn't have took her to that. We was at California Pizza Kitchen, all quiet and shit.
Yeah. After the movie. She's probably having all kind of PTSD flashbacks.
Yeah. She was a G, though. It was probably too early for her to get back into something, and then I don't know, man. Whatever. She's in Austin living her life.
Yeah, I had a few friends go through that divorce and try to get back dating, and it seems like it's just a difficult game of double dutch. Like, when do you hop in and not get smacked in the face with the rope?
I met her in an improv class, and I thought she was cool.
Yeah.
And we were riding the train back together because we both lived in Jersey, and she was like, I was like, oh, we were like talking, and I got her number or whatever. And then I was like, yeah, maybe we should go. She said, I just got divorced. I was like, oh shit. I was like, oh, okay. I was like, oh, okay. and then I fell back, and then we, like, she got on Facebook and we started whatever. But she was a cool chick, but I think there were parts that I fucked up too. But yeah, that's just not a good choice. And this last girl that I was in love with, yeah, I think we saw the Maggie's Plan, that Greta Gerwig movie.
Three
Guys On made fun of me about that last year. They played the trailer and made fun of me. And that was the last time I was on that show.
That's what friends are for.
It's not because of that, though, but they did make fun of me. And it was about, anyway, whatever. But yeah, like,
you've got to know your audience if you're going. If I'm going on a date, I'm trying to, like, make sure I have some idea of the person and what they like and what they don't like. Unless the girl is just, like, a movie head like myself, then it's whatever.
Yeah,
but, like, someone who sort of, like, says, oh, I love movies, but then they see 10 movies a year, I got to know what you like.
Yeah, this one.
I know what you like. I don't want to bring it into, like, the wrong movie and you start having flashbacks.
Yeah, that the last one, like, she wanted to. She was like, yeah, she said, I just don't like scary movies. And there was really nothing.
Fair.
And there was really nothing out at the time. It was like fall of. No, it was like early, like June of last year, and it was like I had seen pretty much everything at the time except like that movie. So
yeah,
that wasn't as bad as because she did bring it up, like that she's like, yeah, that's why I don't know about open relationships. I was trying to do one, and I was like, okay,
no, God.
So
yeah, that's the other thing, man. You got to be prepared for whatever you see, what kind of conversation comes afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah, and I wasn't upset, but I think I guess that movie brought something out in her, and she was probably though one of the most honest women that I had ever dated at the time. So we'll see, but who, I don't know. I've just thrown myself into my career, and I've just put the blinders on.
It'll come to you. You'll see it.
Yeah. So. Yeah, so I think we kind of had a pretty good rundown of what we like this year, and then, you know, it's a little too, it's early, but then it's not early to come out
with predictions. Yeah, it's still a little early, but, you know, because there's still a few things that need to be seen and sort of, like, fleshed out to finally get it down to, like, who's in the fight and who's not.
Yeah, I'm just doing my, like, what they do with the NFL draft, like, my putting up my draft board. From what I think is going to happen, I've usually been pretty good with these.
It's hard to be wrong with them.
You know what I wanted to ask you about? How do you feel? So, like, okay, so the sexual harassment stuff we talked about now, and the misconduct and whatnot. Should Casey Affleck give his Oscar to Denzel?
Oh man, he won't.
Yeah.
I saw Armie Hammer caught some crap, but he was right.
Oh, what he said about Nate Parker?
That was true. Like, yes, what Nate did was bad, and he was a kid, and his punishment, understandable. But at the same time, you got a dude, you know what I'm saying, who's getting that Oscar push.
Mm-hmm.
All kind of campaigns, as if these things are out here for public consumption.
Yeah.
Now, you can't pick and choose who you decide to vilify and who you don't.
Right, right.
Right. And the dude you decide to vilify was someone, you know, and I think Parker's situation honestly wasn't helped by the fact that the woman committed suicide. And that just put that, when I read that, I was like, oh, it's a wrap. What I'm saying?
And then when you finally got around to seeing the movie, it wasn't that good.
I mean, it was fine.
It was all right. But it was fine.
It was a fine movie. It could have still got a, you know, maybe got some love. But I think it became a situation that was so toxic that people just were like, I'm out.
Right. For me, that movie, the trailer was big, more of a size than
the movie.
Yeah, because when I saw that trailer, I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
You know, like, do I want to go to work the next day after that movie? Or do let me plan my schedule around this shit.
Parker will be fine. He'll be in something else. He'll put out another movie at some point. He'll be all right. He sold his movie. He's like... Kudos to him. He made a movie and he sold it.
Yeah.
For a lot of money.
Yeah.
And he still has a career, you know. He'll be all right. He'll bounce back.
We'll see. We shall see. Let me ask you this. What about Call Me By Your Name? Do you think they're trying to do a White Moonlight? or was that Beach Rap?
You're not the first person to even hint at that. I don't know. I hope not. I love Armie Hammer. I think he's a good actor, man. So hopefully it's a good show. It's a good movie.
Because I thought they were trying to do, like, because Beach Rats was out this summer, and I think now it's on demand. I want to see this. I want to see both of those movies, but I just want to see how, like, because people, you know, you can not like, you don't have to like Moonlight. But that's not the first movie that around Oscar season that won and people were like, I don't know that I liked it as much as other people. Now, nerds like us liked it. But I'm saying it's like I don't know, since when did the movie have to have universal acclaim from everybody? You know, it's always like one of those small movies that do well and that just happen to win awards. So I don't see why it should be different just because it's a black movie.
You know, we got to do everything's got to be excellent. It's got to be above, you know.
Yeah.
It's got to not only be good, it's got to be great.
Yeah. Because I was talking to, because JL and I were talking about Three Billboards. We were reviewing that.
Yeah.
And then we were talking about, you know, so he was talking about it's like some of the tropes that these art house movies have, like the long pauses and the cinematic, the sweeps and the cinematography doing all this cool shit and interesting landscapes. Moonlight had a lot of those tropes, but I just thought it was well done, and it was just like it was just a very good movie.
And also, Moonlight was, you know, for me, Moonlight was structured differently, right? So that's different film structure that people aren't used to seeing.
Mm-hmm.
You have this compelling performance in the first act.
Right.
By Mahershala, and then he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Right, another person would be like, "We got to bring him back around in the third act or whatever." He's just gone.
Yeah,
that character is gone. Right, a character who is, you know, really the focal point of the first act. Because Little doesn't have any lines, and that guy's out of here. Mm-hmm. And then it tells a story. I mean, we don't get a lot of black stories told. We definitely get a lot of black queer stories told.
Right.
It was a story. It was a black queer coming of age movie about this young man and sort of his struggles in life and trying to find love and that's a story that doesn't get told much.
I think
that resonated with people, or at least with me.
Yeah, because we talked the whole podcast about it.
Yeah,
my hating ass cousin was like, I mean, he was just gay. Like, if he wasn't gay, I mean, it would be a big deal. I'm like, all right, man. I'm like, whatever.
Yeah. Like, he's not cousin needs his own segment because he seems like an incredible person.
He should, but I think he might be shy. He might be one of those dudes that is, you know, off mic, he's dope. And I don't know if he would want to come into that realm, but I might have to ask him. I always
ask him. Come on.
I enjoy his opinions. I like laughing at him. And if he, and then most of the time, it's not like he'll have me considering what he said. I was like, well, I mean, yeah, but that was the story. That was this story.
You know, yeah, that was the story.
He was a gay drug dealer. I mean, you know, Omar was too.
Yeah. People in particular, like we were having a conversation. I was on John's podcast last week. It was me and John and our friends Jessica and Damien from the Color Nerd podcast. Okay. We were talking about Jessica and Damien both love PB Herman and PB Playhouse. And John just didn't understand it. And I was like, I don't know how you don't understand it, because you're someone who is in the theater, into musicals. Like, he played Dungeons and Dragons, so you have an imagination about a fantasy world.
Yeah.
But yet you don't understand a show that's completely about a guy's fantasy. It's a complete fantasy world. Mm-hmm. Right? But people have these weird, like, not that John's not weird at all, right? But, like, this isn't just him. It's people in general have these weird, like, mental cutoffs where, like, I don't get this thing that you're into.
Is it after the sexual stuff, like the jerk?
No, he's never watched. Like, he never watched the show.
Okay,
you got to hear it. Like, you got to listen to it. Like, he never watched the show. Was never into it. Nothing.
He's our age, right?
Yeah, same age. Yeah, same age.
I used to watch it. I mean, I don't
know how he missed something. Like, I don't know how you missed it. I don't know how that's not something you just didn't see on Saturday morning like everybody else.
Yeah, it wasn't my I don't think it was my favorite, but like, I fuck with Pee-wee. I mean, I watched the movies and whatnot. I didn't really, God, what was that? What was I, 10 or 11? So around that time.
Yeah.
It came to a certain period where I liked that at the time it was like a reimagining of Mighty Mouse. There was like,
I used to love Mighty Mouse.
Yeah, but it came at a time where there was like a shift to where I was into more TNBC than cartoons. So I I would watch Saved by the Bell, California Dreams.
I mean, watch those Nickelodeon shows that were like funny little kid sitcoms.
City Guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which one was?
Yeah, I made that shift too.
Which one was Anthony Anderson in? He was on California Dreams, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, yeah. So it, yeah, man. I've consumed all of that shit.
Yeah.
People are still into that though. So the main reason I wanted you to be on this week, you're my go-to guy, one of my go-to guys for movies, but you're a comic book guy. So
I'm a nerd.
You're a nerd. You're able to, but you're also able to explain these for a person that's just like, oh, I like Spider-Man. I'm going to go see that movie. You know, like, so you can, so this, the Marvel's, what is it? Infinity War? What is it? The Avengers?
Infinity Wars.
The Avengers Infinity War. So which
is... You know how I know I'm a nerd?
Oh.
This guy today tweeted, like, he like ranked all these superheroes by powers.
Okay.
And he was so wrong, and it enraged me in such a way that I didn't even reply to his tweet. I just said, I'm going to keep, for my own personal peace, I'm just going to keep scrolling. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Like, that's how I know I have a problem. I have a nerd problem.
Hey, man.
That's how I know.
I'm not judging you, man. Just you use your powers for good.
I just, like, I'm going to keep scrolling. I don't want to engage in this ridiculous conversation. So the Infinity Wars, it was originally like a graphic novel that Thanos gets all these Infinity Gems. But, you know, I remember with Sarone Russell, a comedian.
Yes.
He tweeted today that, like, Thanos' quest was all about getting out the friend zone. And that's 100% correct. Like, he's in love with Mistress Death, and she's not impressed with this dude. So he goes around collecting all these gems that allow him to do whatever, whenever he wants to. And the Avengers end up getting help from Doctor Strange and Silver Surfer and Adam Warlock, and they go out and they fight him. Now, because of how our films are set up, a lot of that can't happen. So I don't know.
Why is that? Is it because they haven't established him enough, Thanos?
Yeah, they haven't. Well, Adam Warlock is not going to be in the movie, even though he, like, that scene at the end of Guardians 2 was Adam Warlock. Silver Surfer is part of Fox still, until Disney acquires Fox, so mm-hmm. they can't have him. And it's just, as cool as it is in the comics, it's going to be a difficult thing for that to transition onto film.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, certain things look dope in comics, they just aren't going to transition into film. This whole thing in there with the Watchers watching, and like, you could put that in the movie, but that's just like catnip for nerds. I don't know if it sells. Because it's Disney still trying to sell a product, so I don't know if that product still sells with these weird elements in it.
Okay.
But what I'm curious to see is Hela in Thor Ragnarok refer to her as like death, herself as death. So I don't know if she's going to play a role as far as, because I don't think she's dead. But she's going to play a role in like hooking up with Thanos to figure out what's happening with these gems. Because we don't know, she's apparently been locked up, quote unquote, while he's been trying to find these Infinity Stones since the first Avengers movie. Anyway, so he's on a quest to find these stones. So one of them is the Ether from Thor, the second Thor movie that's with the Collector.
Okay.
The other one's inside Vision's head.
And we see him taking that out, right?
We see him getting something poked in for this. He looks painful. Yeah. So they're trying to get that out of Vision's head. The other one is the Tesseract, which Loki eyeballed in Thor Ragnarok. Then we have two other gems that are missing. Like, so the Tesseract, the space gem that allows them to travel. I think the soul gem is the one in Vision. The time gem that's like the eye of magic gold or whatever his name is, that Doctor Strange has. That's the time gem that allowed him to like reverse time in the movie. And there's another gem, the spirit, just another gem that's missing. I forgot the other one, but like, yeah, so he's trying to collect all these things, and that's how he ends up on Earth fighting the Avengers at some point.
Mm-hmm.
From the trailer, it looks like he shows up at the sanctum where Doctor Strange is, because Strange has a gem, and he somehow gets it because he has the glove. And then he, from all the shots in Wakanda, I think there's something in Wakanda.
Are they gonna?
I don't know what it is.
Are they gonna like 9/11 Wakanda?
They're swarming Wakanda, so there's something there.
It's
not the vibranium he wants. It's something there, and we'll find out.
I guess we'll find out in February, maybe.
Yeah. They're gonna do a good job of like, and also there's gonna be a few more trailers. Like this is the first trailer, because what's not in the trailer, like there's no Guardians fighting, right?
Right.
That's not in the trailer. They're in it, but we know they're in the fight.
Thor's
no Hawkeye, no Ant-Man. Yeah, there's no Hawkeye, no Ant-Man in the trailer. There's no, they refer to them as like, they have a name, but people call them the Children of Thanos, right? These like four horsemen sort of people who are down there. You see a brief glimpse of one throwing that trident at Captain America.
Yeah.
So they have a big role in showing up on Earth and like wrecking havoc with Thanos. So, you know, we'll see and hear more about those characters and how crazy they are. Yeah, and, you know, Loki clearly has a role because he gives up the Tesseract to Thanos.
Is he going to be good or bad? Because it's like, what the fuck are you going to do, Loki? Like,
he's going to play both sides the way he always does.
Okay, both sides.
Because remember, in the first Avengers, he was like the big bad that he was sort of quote-unquote working for was Thanos.
Yeah.
And he messed that whole thing up. So I'm sure Thanos is, you know, like any gangster, like, hey man, you still owe me, so I need you to pay up. So,
gotcha.
We'll see. But yeah, there's a lot of Wakanda stuff in there. It's man, they do so well with what I think other studios that handle comic book properties fail to do, which is tell an interesting narrative story,
mm-hmm.
right? This is an overarching story that started with Iron Man, which takes patience and time, and right, but they stayed the course. Like that shot at the end of the trailer where you see all them running through, like that's like a comic book panel. That's like flipping a comic, and yeah. It's taking up two pages, and it's this shot of these guys running into battle, and they somehow have found a way to put this on screen and make it look very real in a world that we know is fake and full of fantasy. Like,
yeah,
they nail that stuff. Like little stuff, like Spider-Man's tingly sense, like the little details that deal with the mythology, they seem to always get, and they get them well, and they put them in their films. And I think that's why people gravitate to these stories so much, and they make them, you know, palatable for people who don't know anything about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you cannot know much about it and still watch it and enjoy it.
Like I can enjoy it. Like,
yeah, you can enjoy it.
Yeah, it looks like it's gonna be good. I mean, how did you feel? Because it seemed like a segment of Black Twitter was upset that this fighting was going to be going down in Wakanda.
What do you expect? Like, what do you, like, if Wakanda is what we know it to be, this rich country full of money and technology,
yeah,
and resources, you don't think if someone raided the country that they would start there?
That's true.
I would.
Yeah.
I saw some guy upset tweeting about why Captain America is in front and Wakanda leading the charge. Like, oh, so he's the leader of the Avengers leading the Avengers, and that somehow bothers you? Like, come on. What do you think he's Cap?
Because I guess they think Black Panther's supposed to be...
Come on, man. Panther's going to do what Panther does. Panther in the trailer says to get Cap a shield, or whoever. He might be talking to Bucky. Like, Bucky shows up. I'm a big fan of Bucky. Bucky shows up. He's strapped up. Yeah. But apparently, they've made Cap a new weapon to use.
Yeah.
That Black Panther's sister made for him. So I'm excited to see whatever that is. I think there's a lot of a trailer that they're leaving out. There's a lot of cameo stuff they're probably going to leave out.
And they should. I think the more that we don't know, I think the better it'll be.
Think about Black Panther. It comes out in a few months, and we really don't know much other than it's Black Panther in Wakanda. We'll learn about Wakanda, and the two people he's facing off with are Kilgrave and Klaue, and right. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Right.
And Marvel's really great at cutting up the trailers and putting stuff out of place, so you really don't know how things happen sequentially.
That's true. I think with...
They're really good at it.
What did you think of Thor Ragnarok? Because it felt like that introduction to Hulk, it would have been... I don't know, but I guess maybe everybody knew that was going to happen. I mean, it just seemed like...
With what?
You know, the fight with Hulk.
It's just a play on, like, the Planet Hulk story and, like, the Conference of Champions and these things. Yeah, so...
Okay.
Yeah.
I did like the movie. I thought that it was, they were definitely trying to go with that, at least as far as the marketing was concerned. Like, they tried to do like the Guardians of the Galaxy type marketing.
And it's a funny, goofy.
Yeah.
I think they had to go lighter because their next two films are not funny.
Yeah.
Like, Infinity Wars is not, even when you watch the trailer, they've got like that somber version of the Avengers thing. Like, mm-hmm. people are going to die.
Yeah.
But I do have a theory that Captain America dies.
Okay. That's
but
what
it's
ask.
Not really Cap.
And what does that mean?
I think he's a Skrull, because the next thing they're doing is the Skrulls, and that's a secret invasion where Skrulls are this crazy alien race, and they can look like whoever.
So then where
look would, like whatever.
Where would Captain America, where would the real Cap?
They got him locked up somewhere.
Okay.
It's a secret invasion. So we know that with Captain Marvel movie coming out with Brie Larson,
yes.
The main villain is going to be the... Yeah, I love Brie Larson.
Yeah.
The main villain is going to be the Skrulls, but mm-hmm. that's going to take place in the 80s. So, and we know that with the next Avengers movie they're doing, they're redoing the end of the battle in New York. So, like, Loki has that thing, the end of the battle. So, like, Loki has that thing on his mouth. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone has the old costumes on, so... Yeah, we'll see what they're doing with that. But I like that. And if they're doing Secret Invasion and we're not sure who's who, that's a beautiful way to start off the next phase for these movies. Where, you know, where the face of them is going to be Captain Marvel and Black Panther and Spider-Man and, you know, these other characters. Like, I like that that's the direction they're going.
Cool. I guess, was there anything else about Infinity War before we wrap up? I think that's it. I think you pretty much explained everything that, I mean, because...
Yeah, that was going to kill people. I want people listening to understand that.
What do you, because comedian Mike Lawrence, he had a big Instagram post about how, and we alluded to it a little earlier, how he said that Thanos wasn't really established. It's just like, okay, he's just, it almost seems like he's just a bad guy, even though we know.
Well,
go ahead.
Right. Okay, the Russo said, like, in one of the interviews, like, this is a spiritual journey for him. Like, he's on this quest, and he feels like he's on the spiritual journey to right the wrongs in the universe and do these things. So his motivations are much different than they were in the comics.
Okay.
But he's still a man on a mission of doing something he believes to be right.
Okay.
So listen to the way he, like, if you rewatch the trailer, the way he's talking to them about, like, destiny coming, and there's nothing you can do about it, like, this is the thing that's happening, and there's nothing you can do about it, even though you can fight and you can do whatever, but, like, it still comes. Like, you can't avoid, like, this predestination of the thing that's going to happen. So, and that's his viewpoint. So I think we'll learn more about Thanos in the movie, about what his motivations are.
So he is going to be just as formidable. It's like, so you think it's not going to just be inherent that they say, oh, this guy is fucking... don't mess with this guy. Like he's
I mean, we've gotten pieces of it from, like, the beautiful part, you know, Nebula from Guardians and Gamora are his daughters.
Right.
And so I think they'll be the characters who sort of add the some depth to who he is by talking about him, by talking him up without saying it.
Yeah.
Like remember, if you watch John Wick.
Uh-huh.
Before, you don't see John Wick kill anyone for 30 minutes, right? But you hear about him, and they talk about him, and talk about,
right.
They tell stories about what's happening. And so when you finally see him in action, like, yeah, this is what they talked about. So I think we'll get some of that. And that was in the Comic-Con trailer that leaked. There was some of that, like Gamora talking about sort of like how death followed him, and, you know, this ominous thing that's happening. I think they do a good job of explaining their villain.
Yeah,
even though the villains necessarily haven't been great, but I think this will be, you know, he will be the big bad.
Yeah,
that people want. And I think when you see him, because you never feel like these guys can get hurt. But the beauty of it, since someone has the time stone, you can always go back, and there's other dimensions you can pull people from, and, you know, you can always go back in time. So you can have him be as brutal and as vicious as you need him to be. You can have him crush Spider-Man's neck. And you can bring Spider-Man back.
Okay. Is that like what...
The beauty of it.
What Doctor Strange was doing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because everyone dies in that movie, and he uses the gem. And that's why, what's his name, Mordo gets pissed. He's like, that's not what the magic's for. Like, you don't get to, like, change things that have happened. And he's like, oh, well, I did it.
Is Mordo Chiwetel?
Yeah, Chiwetel character, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that was, I thought that was funny. I like that for that sequence.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a really great point that you bring up. I mean, it's like, that's just like a storytelling device. Like, this guy's an asshole, guys.
We should get prepared for this dude showing up, because he's going to try to kill everybody. And I think you're going to see, you know, cause it looks like Vision is the only person we've seen getting that work in the movie. And Iron Man takes a punch.
Yeah.
So you'll see characters who you think are invincible superheroes, like, get worked. And you thought them to be getting worked by Ultron was something. This is going to be way worse.
Yeah. Ultron was just kind of meh.
Yeah. But of course, they'll come out on top. They'll figure out a way. They'll travel back in time or do something and figure out a way to beat him.
So you
there's a great Avengers animated story that has a whole, it's like a four part. It has a whole Thanos storyline. That if you're interested, I will watch that. It sort of talks about sort of what he goes through and what he does, and gives a brief history of him.
Okay, so do you think? You think Cap is the only one that's going to die, quote unquote, die?
Nah, maybe Hawkeye or Black Widow.
Yeah.
It'll be a human.
Yeah.
It won't be like Thor or the Hulk, or it won't be that. It'll be I think Cat, because Cat is like the heart of the team.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think him getting killed, you know, won't really be Cap, in my opinion. We'll find out. It's a Skrull. But seeing Cap die will then bring the team together. Because they've killed people, right? In the first movie, they killed Coulson. In the second movie, they killed Quicksilver. So the third movie, someone else got to die.
Somebody's got to die.
Someone's got to die. So, yeah, my money's on Cap.
Since we're getting close to this new Last Jedi, when John
yeah.
won, he had shared some predictions. I can't have you on the show without you. Giving your thoughts on what do you predict from this movie? Is it do you think it's going to be parallel to Empire Strikes Back, or do you think it's
yes.
going to be?
Yeah, I think it'll be similar.
Okay.
But I think we'll learn more about Snoke, and I think at some point Rey and Kylo team up.
Oh, shit. Wow. Mm-hmm. And then you think in the third one she's going to break away from him? Do you think Rey's going to be evil the whole time?
No, I think the term The Last Jedi is the end of the Jedi Order.
Okay.
This idea of light and dark, and I think they're both going to operate in the middle and be sort of gray.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So I think that's going to be the move. I don't think it means that all the Jedi die. I think it's this idea that there's this ultimate light and this ultimate dark, and certain things Jedis don't do. It's, you know, and they don't dabble in any of the stuff that you know, any of the people on the dark side do. I think her and Kylo find an in between, and they realize that Snoke is someone trying to keep this battle alive. Him in the First Order, and so they're having to go up against the First Order and Snoke and whoever else.
What about what do you think about Finn? What do you think will happen?
Oh, Finn's on a mission. He's on a mission. He's going to be on a mission. Team up. I think he teams up with for what I know, one
Asian
of the girls,
girl?
The mechanic. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think he shows some guts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And I want to see what happens with his fight with Phasma, because Phasma somehow survives.
Yeah.
Survives Starkiller Base blowing up.
Yeah, that looks like that's going to be pretty cool. Like him fighting his old boss.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm excited, man. I don't know what happens in this movie, but what I do know is they've given Rian Johnson the reins for another trilogy. So they like whatever they've seen enough to say, here you go. Here, do three more movies.
Mm-hmm.
So, because I think JJ's doing the next movie. In you know, sort of the Skywalker run, because there's not going to be any more Skywalkers in these new movies. But yeah, whatever they're doing, they like what they've seen, and I like Rian Johnson. Like I love Looper. I think he's a great director.
Oh, he's the shit.
His visuals, yeah.
Dude,
his visuals are on point.
Yeah,
his storytelling is dope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. John and I were actually talking about it. He's a Maryland guy. I think Brothers Bloom. I really liked Brick.
Yeah, Brothers Bloom was good.
Brick was good, so...
Brick was good, yeah. So I expect him to show up and show out in this movie and give us what we want to see. There's something about Star Wars, the theme music and the world they're in and these characters that's so... It transports me back to, like, being a kid again.
Yeah.
Something about it is so transformative, and I think he's going to take all those elements and all the new cool shit that he does and just make, like, a really dope movie.
I'm excited about it too. I mean, are you? What are you doing that week? Are you taking off the next day?
I don't know what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna see it at some point again, man. So yeah, I'll be watching it, man. Like it's one of the few things that you know reboots can always be funky, man. But they really crushed it with The Force Awakens. Like they really like, and even again, back to Disney. Like in all the promo, all the trailers, we had no idea it was Rey. We had no until she grabs the lightsaber.
Yeah. And I'm glad
that's
about
the thing.
That.
Yeah. They're really good at that kind of stuff. Like, I remember seeing it with my friend Leah and her daughter. And her daughter had to be, what is she, 9 now? She's like 7 at the time.
Okay.
And we're watching the movie. I'd already seen it twice. But we're watching the movie. And the scene where she grabs them, she gets a lightsaber and it flies past Kylo in the snow, like, this little girl lit up.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is why representation matters. Like, this is the thing that people talk about. I'm watching this girl who's 7 have this moment in the theater of like, wow, look at this badass girl. You know, and that stuff matters. I'm going to feel the same way watching Black Panther. Like, I'm going to have a moment where I'm like, this is amazing.
Yeah, I tried to act like I was too cool for school 2 years ago, where I was like, all right, nerds, okay. I mean, I'm going to watch it too, but, you know, all right, guys. Dude, I was excited.
And I was already in because I was a fan of John Boyega. Like, I thought I love him in Attack the Block. And
yeah.
I interviewed him when he was here for that movie. And I was like, man, this kid's so good. And he was cool. Yeah. It's, now he's out of here. But, like, at the time, I was like, oh, he's cool. He's a cool
kid. What do you mean out of here? Like, he's feeling himself?
No. I mean, like, his life is different. Like,
yeah.
I talked to him right after he did Attack the Block. And people hadn't really known about it, hadn't really caught on yet.
Yeah.
Now that that's caught on, people know him from that. And in the Star Wars, like, he's on a different level. Like, he's gonna, the level of movies he gets, the kind of roles he gets, like, all that's changed.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he could not, he's the same dude that you see in these interviews. He's just fun, he's having a good time, he's chill, he's a cool dude. But yeah, I was interested in the movie just on the strength of him, like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to support this dude. I think he's a good actor, and I'm happy he got an opportunity to be in something as life-changing as Star Wars.
Yeah.
And then to watch it and see his character's arc, and, like, you know, he sort of did well, and, I'm a big fan of all those guys, all the cast. Like, those guys are great. Everyone's great.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm really excited for this. I guess because I've seen it. I've seen The Force Awakens twice in the theater, and I do have it on Blu-ray, so I'll probably, I don't know, usually after I see the new one, I watch the original. I don't know. I watched the first one, so maybe I don't know.
Watch the second one? You're going to watch Empire and see how it goes?
Yeah, maybe I'll do that. Like, I usually, like, watch the new one and then kind of backtrack with the ones before. I might even watch Rogue One just to get ready for it. Even though Rogue One
was good, but man, it was brutal.
It was sad. Yeah. I told John, I called that glory in outer space.
Yeah.
And
when they showed up on that planet, I was like, oh, so none of y'all make it off this planet.
Dog.
Like, if I know the story, none of y'all gonna make it.
I was the only one, because apparently I was the only one that didn't know that they were all gonna die. Did you know they were all gonna die? I didn't know that. And I had a shitty.
Oh, yeah, I knew that.
I had a shitty week at work that week, and it was a Friday, and I was just like, oh, God, they're all gonna fucking. Because I'm thinking, oh, Star Wars will lift my spirits. And I was like, oh, no. Wow.
The funniest was I went with two of my homeboys to go see the first Lord of the Rings.
Uh-huh.
And they had no idea it was a trilogy. So in the first movie, it's like Frodo and Sam and that river. And the credits hit. Then they were like, what? I was like, yeah, man, it's a trilogy. There's two more movies. Man, they were pissed. They were like, man, how long is this movie, man? How they gonna get to Mordor? Like, what's happening? Nah, man. Do more movies, man.
You got to watch 12 more of these.
Bro. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got something in that. I saw a Bollywood movie once. I don't know if you've ever seen a Bollywood movie.
Yes. It was
going to be like 5 hours long, man. And I had no idea it was like a Bollywood movie. And I was like, man, this is, look, he has these dance numbers. Like, he's investigating a murder, but he got to, they're breaking out and dance in the alley. And man, it went on for so long. Like, I had to go pee. I kept trying to hold it. I was like, I can't hold it. I just gotta go. This movie's not gonna end.
Oh, I gotta ask you, what do you think happens with Luke? Do you think, is he gonna train Rey, and then do you think, like, he just trains?
Yeah. He trains her, and I think whatever happened with him and Kylo is like some PTSD stuff. And he's like, oh, you can't, you're too close.
Yeah.
And that's why in the clip you see her, she pretty much is like, I have all these powers, there's no one here to help me. Because Luke is probably like, not again. The last person I trained turned into like a killer. I'm not doing that. And so it sends her on her own little quest to find whatever she needs to find peace. There'll be some, I think there's some stuff they're leaving out that's going to be important to the story.
Yeah.
We'll talk more about that later when we're done recording. But yeah, I'm pretty sure there's some stuff they're leaving out. But yeah, I'm excited, man. I'm always excited for these movies, man. It's a franchise that's been around since before I was born,
right?
Or right after I was born.
Same here.
And it has such longevity and like generations of fans. So I'm excited to see what they do. I like the fact that they've taken it up and they've, you know, because those prequels were rough and they sort of like rebounded from that and come back with some heat. I know the stuff was rough. Some of it's still really good, but it's rough.
Yeah, man. Well, Tim, dude, where can people find you?
They can find me on thepeoplescriticblog.com. They can find me on Twitter, The People's Critic. I will be on some podcasts this week. I'm going to be on the Culinary Podcast Thursday talking about, what did you talk about? Talk about, comic stuff and stuff that was like important to us, that changed the game for us personally. So I had to be introspective and think about things that like impacted me. And then I'm on the Sanity Check on Friday talking about Disaster Artists, new movie. So you hear me and Chris talk about that and sort of discuss our thoughts on Franco and his performance and sort of him making the film.
And you post all those links on your Twitter?
Yeah, I'm on my Twitter, People's Critic, CRITIC. Cool. Follow me on there, yeah. Cool, thanks for having me on, man. I appreciate it. It's always good. I know we talk not on the podcast, man, but it's always good to talk to you. I appreciate it.
Hell yeah, man. Stay on the line. Thanks so much for your time, man. I appreciate you. Take it easy, everybody.
All right, man.